using the gifts that God gave you. If you weren't here, this is all part of the Shavuot weekend. Jim gave us the depiction that will stick in our minds for years of an eaglet messing with the feathers of the little, you know, the little baby eagles to get them stirred up, and he tied it in with the Holy Spirit can be stirring us to be about his business, about the Father's business. Amen? Jim, I will not try to mimic you, but that will stay in my mind for years. The point was, is these little eagles were destined for something more than just sitting in the nest. They had a destiny. You and I have a destiny as well. We have a calling on our life. We have something that God expects and wants out of us. Some will answer that call. Sadly, many will not. You know, I've been thinking really hard, should I address anything about what's going on in the United States today? And I decided I'm not going to really address it, because right now, what I think and what I feel really doesn't mean anything. It has no real value. No matter what I say, no matter which side of the fence you're on, or if you're riding the fence, you've pretty much dug in your heels. You think you're firmly planted and you believe that you're right. My hope and prayer is that soon we can all return to a place in a point where we can literally say once again, like we used to, but what does the Word of God have to say? Because I got to be honest with you, what I think doesn't really matter. What we think as individuals doesn't matter. So today's message is more of an introduction to both our guest speaker today, but also to the message we're going to be doing, because we're going to be going into Matthew 24 in great detail. How many people realize that this is the time we need to understand Matthew 24?
Yes.
Okay? And we'll be tying in some other scriptures, but we're going to focus on our Messiah, because he doesn't make mistakes. We can struggle with Paul. Everyone struggles with Revelation, if you're honest. But Messiah had a way of doing things that was simple and crystal clear. Today I want to read verse 14, and it says, "Then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." See, too many people are looking for the end today or tomorrow or the next day, and there's work to be done. And I would submit to you that the true gospel of Yeshua has not gone to the ends of the earth. I know a lot of people that have studied the New Testament believe that it's already been accomplished. Every country on earth has heard the good news, the gospel. And I would submit they've heard some of it. Other places have heard all of it. But I think there's much work to be done. And I didn't bring that up to argue about what is the good news. I brought it up to say there is still time and there's still work to be done. See, we need to be about the Father's business. I believe in whatever the time we have left is, whether it's 100 years or a year, it's the time we're supposed to be doing great exploits for his kingdom. Amen? So real quickly, James says in 1:22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, otherwise you're deceiving yourselves." He also stated three chapters later in 4:17, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Do you see how severe that is? This is the New Testament. This isn't Ezekiel or Isaiah. So I say that, those two verses say this. What is one of the greatest commandments given? Obviously, we know the first one was love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your might. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor, right? What is the most practical way you can love your neighbor? Scripturally. Not, you know, oh, I bring them dinner when they're sick or whatever. It's basically, it's taking care of the poor, the widows, and the orphans. Those are the primary things that we can do. And that entails a lot of other things. Can we see the need in the world today to take care of the poor, the widows, and the orphans? If you can't, you're not looking very hard. You see, God sent Yeshua, the Son of the living God, perfect, the spotless Lamb, to die on the cross, not just for you and I, for everyone in the whole world. Maybe they won't all receive it, but he died for everyone. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at color. He doesn't look at anything except your heart. Do you want to receive me as your Savior? Then will you follow me? See, at Judgment Day, there will be no racism. There'll just be my word. Did you follow it? Did you follow my son? Did you try? At the very least, did you try to live a holy life? Or did you not? Did you disregard it? Did you have contempt for it? That's the only thing that's going to matter on Judgment Day. It says there are neither male nor female. And it goes on, Jew or Gentile. He's talking spiritually in God's kingdom. Do some have it harder than others? You bet. I've visited Asia. I know how hard it is. I've seen it firsthand. It shook me and it changed my world when I was 23 years old. I know it's hard. I couldn't even imagine growing up in that poverty. You know what they go through over there every day makes what we go through in America pale in comparison. There's injustices all over the world. Before I get into trouble and slide off into a rant, let me ask you a question. When you are born into a place of poverty or a place of a culture that has violent injustices against them, do you think God wasn't aware of what he was doing? Do you think he just slipped up? He wasn't thinking about you, didn't care about you? I would suggest the creator of heaven and earth knew exactly what he was doing, and I believe he had a purpose for each and every person. And we'll go back to what I said earlier. Will each and every person heed that call? It's not our place to judge, is it? But I would suggest that people all over the world, born into poverty, born into horrible circumstances, have a call in their life, and God wants them to be their children, and he desires for them to be drawn to him so that they can then in turn serve him and bring him glory. So right now, Rich, I know you're proud. And Kara, Rich never has asked me to do anything on your behalf. He loves you and he's all in for what you're doing, but this is something that I prayed about. It's something that the House of Scriptures prayed about, and we are excited to have you here today. Ella, no matter what you believe in your heart, your sister is doing something that is going to be powerful in the world. It's a good thing. When you're helping others, it's a good thing. See, and this is where God's called her to lay down her life in Southeast Asia. And I don't mean laying down her life. It means giving up the life she's been given here for the life he's asked her to live there. And if she does this, she will serve him and bring him honor and glory. She understands that despite the fact of where they were born and what they were born into, there is a hope. See, that's the problem. We lose focus on the hope, don't we? There is a king who sent his son to die on the cross, and it is for everybody in all of the world. When I first met you, Kara, I knew there was something special about you, but it wasn't because of who you are at the time. It's just I knew God was going to do something in your life. I didn't know what it was. I wasn't a prophet. I just knew something was special about her. Kara is a special lady because she's choosing to heed the calling God has put on her life, and it's not an easy calling. See, we don't get to choose what God picks for our calling or our giftings, do we? Our only choice is, will we say yes? And she's chosen to say yes. She sees that these lives in Cambodia have great value, and she's here to share a message of hope, not only with us, but what she plans to share with them. So as I welcome her here, I want you to understand she is a sent one. She is being sent to do a purpose of the Father in a place where most people wouldn't want to go. And our prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit will go with you and lead you and guide you in everything you say and do over there. With that, would you all welcome a doer of God's word, Kara Johann.
reaching out to the community through a children's program, a preschool, through clinic, and through community service, teaching them that they're worth being poured into and their children are too. We have a kickbox in gym, reaching out to pinch and tackle, using the left hand to show them what a real man looks like. We have over 1,000 churches throughout Cambodia who are being trained and developed to respond to the specific needs of their parents. We're building up the next generation of young leaders and sending them out to spread the love of Christ throughout the country. Through working in these communities, partnering with churches and building relationships, we're receiving leads about children in slavery. We're acting on these leads through the use of undercover investigations and local law enforcement partnerships to rescue these children and stop the supply of home facilities. We have a full-time home for girls rescued out of sex slavery where they can receive love in a healthy way and learn to give love in a healthy way. Part of the restored life is viable employment so creative an employment center where girls can support themselves and their families while working in a safe and empowering environment. We also have two transitional homes where girls can receive the support they need while they begin the restored life.
I can almost cry just watching that. So I want to try in a short amount of time to give you all a full picture of who I am and about Agape International Missions and what I'm going to do. So I'll briefly share my testimony, which I'm so grateful for it. But when I was younger, my dad put me in a Christian school, and they laid a really good foundation for me, something to return to when I was older. But eventually I got transferred to public school, had a broken family, so there were hardships in that. But when I got to high school, it's not even that people didn't believe in God around me. You know, I was still like a good Christian girl, like clinging on to some things. But the people around me actually hated God, you know, and they were very vocal about that. And this was, you know, 10, 11 years ago, and now it's significantly worse, you know. So I started to question everything that I believed, and I was like, do I just believe this because somebody told it to me, because I went to a Christian school? So me and my dad were talking about this earlier, but I got very depressed, and it was, you know, my mom and dad were divorced, but they ended up having an intervention. You know, they met with me at the same time, which was awkward, and I did not want to say that I was struggling with my faith. I was so embarrassed about it. And I didn't want to read my Bible because that's what I already knew, you know, and I was like, what if it is something different? I didn't know. So, wow, I get emotional. But I coped by sleeping a lot because when you sleep, you don't have to think about it, you know? And, I got to a point where I was like, I have to do something about this. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to read one chapter of the Bible every day. And Matthew 7, it's the ask, seek, knock scripture. And I was like, a brat, okay? I was like, God, if you're real, you're going to show me. If you're not real, like, you're not going to show up, you know? And I was very demanding about it. So I didn't read anymore. I just prayed that over and over and over again and became really desperate. And in that scripture, you know, it says a good father gives good gifts to his children. How much better gifts can your heavenly father give you? So I was like, God, if you're a good father, like you say, like, I want a birthday present. And I said, by October 23rd, I want to know, like, if you are real. You know, like, I needed to know. My guesstimate is October 20th. I can't remember. But I went from, like, completely depressed and seeking. I know a lot of us in here know what that is, that desperate seeking, to literally waking up one day, and I knew. I just knew. And there's no other way to explain it. but that. And that was when I was 19 years old. And a lot of people didn't know what was going on because I was sitting in church and I did not want to say what was going on. I was really embarrassed about it. But, you know, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. But just as that came into play, this calling with Cambodia also came into play. And it's because I started to read the Bible for myself. And I was so shocked. I was like, why is this not being taught? Like, why haven't I heard this? You know, I was in church, but there's like such a high calling that we're supposed to live by, such sacrifice, you know, and when you actually go and read this stuff, you're like, wow, my life does not line up with this at all. So I was reading a book. I don't know if my dad knows this. I kind of haven't shared it too much, but it's called Outlive Your Life. And Ella knows this. He likes, read this book. And I was like, no. Like, don't want to read. But, you know, I was like discovering, you know, authentic faith. So it's called Outlive Your Life. And page 28, it talks, in the same sentence, it says sex trafficking in two-year-olds. I had no idea what sex trafficking was. I had no idea it was happening. But I knew that a two-year-old, those words did not belong in the same sentence. So I dove into a bunch of research, watching YouTube videos, looking up testimonies, and I could not believe that in this country, I didn't even know Cambodia was a country, children are being raped around the clock, up to 40 times a day. Absolutely tortured. Like, the words that I read from the testimonies, I really probably shouldn't even share here live streaming. It is very, very violent. And you know, I was watching undercover brothel videos, watching little girls be sold for $3 to men that are 50, 60, from America, from Europe, from Australia. So I, in that moment, I knew, I was like, I have to go to Cambodia. And I didn't know what that looked like. You know, I grew up in an affluent neighborhood, and this was so foreign to anything that I heard. But I cried so much over this. I couldn't believe people weren't talking about it. This was before, you know, the social justice causes were rising and all that. And it was like crying about the torture that it was happening and that even these girls don't have moms to hug them or brush their hair. Because oftentimes their moms are the ones that sell them into this because it's part of the culture that the oldest daughter, that the oldest daughter is supposed to be the breadwinner for the family. And they start them at very young ages. Once you're 2 or 3 years old in Cambodia, you're considered old enough to work. So I didn't know how God would see this through. This was about 10 years ago now. You know, I never imagined it would take that long, but God really had to prepare my heart for it. So my goal in life, what I desperately want to hear when I die, is well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I don't believe that that's for Sunday Christians or people that, you know, even have faith, but it's not shown in action. So I knew then, I was like, I have to do this because there's no way that I can meet the Father and be hoping to hear those words when I turned my face to really one of the worst evils in the world. So that's it. I had decided then, and it's been a whole detour to get here now. But a little bit about Cambodia and why this is such a problem is because in the 70s, there was a genocide, which maybe you're familiar with. A quarter of the population was murdered, and they went after the educated, the wealthy, and the religious people. And they killed 90%. Of Christians, so that reset the country. You know, they wanted to make it a farming society and push everybody into that. So it's been very difficult for them to bounce back. And in that, in poverty, the vulnerable are exploited. And part of their culture is that they believe that your business will be blessed if you have sex with a virgin. So then the girls get younger and younger and younger. There's just all kinds of twisted beliefs. So the old, the kind of the grandparents of this generation were forced into murdering their own families. So they're carrying all that trauma, raising the parents of this generation, and then the grandkids of this generation don't even know any of it happened because the education is not good there, so they don't even realize why the country is in the state that it is. So SWIPOC, where Agape International Missions is, used to be an epicenter of child sex trafficking before Agape got there. 100% of the kids in that slum village were trafficked. And back in 2000, Cambodia got a lot of pressure from the United Nations to fix the trafficking problem because a lot of people were finding out. So a few years later, they pumped out some statistics that they're closing brothels and the problem's getting better. They've closed some brothels, but the girls are still for sale. So it's become an underground market, and you can go to a cell phone store and buy a girl, you know, rent her for just a few dollars. So the problem is not dealt with, and we know that without Christ, it won't be, you know, and really it never will be fully taken care of. But Agape believes saying yes to the one, because we're never going to solve this whole problem, but each soul still matters. So the Agape International Missions model is a holistic approach, which is why I chose to apply with them. So they have prevention, rescue, rehabilitation, and reintegration. The prevention is the school, which is where I will be working. They planted a school in the middle of SWIPAC to get these kids off of the street because they are available for trafficking if they're not in school. So right now, 1,500 kids attend the school, and it's one of the top two schools in the nation. And it is a Christian school, so they learn about the Bible, they learn English, and are just set up to have a successful and safer future. They do rescue, so they collaborate with different ministries in Cambodia, but part of the problem is that the police come into this area and they were also raping the girls. So they couldn't even rely on Cambodia's government because there's so much corruption and people get paid off that no justice was being served. So Agape created their own SWAT team, and they do a lot of research and planning that goes into a raid. And then the video showed it. They actually go and they start breaking down doors. They rescue the girls. They're immediately in the hands of counselors and they're put into restoration homes where they will get an education and job training. And then they go into a reintegration phase where a lot of them have come back to work with Agape, which is really amazing. And then if not, they have help with job placement. There's a Cambodian proverb that says, "Men are like gold, but women are like cloth." And it just means that even if gold gets dirty, it still has its value. But after a cloth is torn and dirtied, it's worthless. So even though these girls don't choose this for themselves, when they go back to their communities, everybody tells them, you know, they're a bad woman, they're worthless, when really they didn't have control over it. So they follow up with a lot of, you know, counseling and just to make sure that they are reintegrating well. And I actually went there this past September, and it really is a miracle what's going on. They have a gym that they disciple traffickers and pimps at, and some of those men have actually come back to work for Agape International Missions. They've left their jobs, which they make way more money at, and they come and work there. And then you have these girls that are also working there, and now they're working together, and that's a miracle. Like, no other place can that possibly, you know, happen without God's healing, really. So at the school, I'm doing staff training. So the teachers are Cambodian people, but they're also girls that were rescued out of trafficking themselves. And because Cambodia has low education, people that are teachers have not been educated in how to be a teacher. So my job is to train them on classroom management, curriculum, whatever else really is needed, but then also to walk alongside of them in their relationship with Christ and as they just to disciple and mentor them. So I'm on the prevention side for the kids, but then on the reintegration side for the girls coming back into society, which is really amazing. So I just want to read their mission, which is to rescue, restore, reintegrate survivors of sex trafficking through Christ's love and gospel, to prevent sex trafficking by protecting, equipping, and empowering vulnerable and exploited communities, reducing demand, equipping the local church to do the same worldwide. So something really special about them is they also have 1,270 village churches, and the point of those churches is to get this message out, because girls are often drawn from those villages into this, but it's this last part is equipping the church to do this. So they have a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, sorry, I'm kind of all over. My notes are not very organized. But a lot of people want to know about statistics and what that actually looks like. And not a lot are pumped out because it is an underground issue. There's a lot of lying and manipulation in it, and there's just no way to track numbers. But UNICEF said that 1 million children enter sex trafficking every year, which is, think about all those parents, you know. And in Cambodia, you can sell your own child, or your neighbor can come and sell your child. There are no rules for this kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, there's two stories. One's a video that we're going to share, and then one is just a tiny little sentence I have here. But the point of it is to put faces or names to what is going on. So Agape International Missions got a tip about a girl being trafficked, and her name was Toha, and she spent 22 days in a brothel. She was sold by her mother. She was brought to the hospital. They gave her a certificate of virginity, and then she sold her to an American pedophile, and then she eventually got sold to a brothel. She spent 22 days there and was raped by 198 men. So there's obviously so much more than the word rape and being raped, but the torture is a whole nother level. So we can show that, and then I'll wrap up.
Well, it definitely is transplanting Cambodia. As the evil of sex trafficking in Cambodia evolves, it requires a holistic approach. We understand that it's important that there's four pillars that make up fighting sex trafficking. There needs to be prevention efforts, there needs to be rescue efforts and restoration, but in the end, maybe the most critical part is the reintegration. Getting the girls back into community, where they are honored by the village itself, not just the people that are part of AIM. That honoring comes as a part of having a good job. A good job where they can support themselves, self-support their family. And that reintegration keeps a girl from being trafficked again.
Bảy năm chiên hay hay nhóm ban cho tất cả tin đi cứ nhóm miền làm hai nhóm chiên mà được đà có sống không. Vậy thì muốn nhóm chiên mà được đà mình có tận tay. យើងចូលមកទីនេះគឺពួកគាត់ទាំងអស់គ្នាស្វាគមន៍ហើយពួកគាត់ស្រឡាញ់យើងទាំងអស់គ្នាទោះបីជាយើងមិនល្អទោះបីជាយើងធ្លាប់ធ្វើការអាក្រក់ពីមុនប៉ុន្តែយើងចូលទីនេះគឺយើងដូចជាម្ចាស់ស្ត្រីមួយចឹងហើយវាបាននៅក្នុងអង្គការនេះបានជួយយើងច្រើនដោយសារតែនៅពេលដែលយើងគ្រួសាររបស់យើងមានជំងឺឬមកក៏យើងមានបញ្ហាអីគឺគាត់តែងតែជួយពួកយើងជានិច្ច
So I want to end just with an invitation, and it's a lot where my heart was at, you know, so many years ago, was to not...
We are being sent.
Oops. which is just an invitation to not turn a blind eye. And I understand, like, not everybody is going to be passionate about this like I am, but I don't hold back at all from saying, like, I believe that this is the heart of Christ, you know, and as believers, we should all extend ourselves in some way to reach out and be a part of God's mission, because he is on mission, and we're not called to comfortable lives, you know, like, God gives us blessings, and we can enjoy things, but we're not called to comfortable lives, so... Part of the reason why a lot of people ask why Cambodia, why not help here? And I never thought this, but I've faced so much resistance from believers, even like, America needs so much help, why aren't you helping here? You know, it's just put me back a little bit because missions is so important. America has a lot of resources, a lot of help, so much. We have unemployment right now. Any kind of help you need, you can get it here. Cambodia does not have that. Their own government, they're against the people, you know. They are the ones causing a lot of the damage there. Sorry, I want to be careful what I say, that's recorded. So a lot of the assistance and the help that these people get are through missionaries and ministries. So Agape International Missions has about 300 to 400 people on their Cambodian staff, and those people are on salary, and it happens through fundraising that they do in the United States. Their missionary staff, they don't get paid, and they do their own fundraising, which is partly why I'm here, is I fully believe God will supply for the need, but this is impossible without people joining me, being passionate about this with me, praying for me. It will fail without people walking alongside of me. So I want to just ask you to pray about it, that if you heard something that grabbed your heart, or you know that this aligns with Scripture, I just want you to pray about what you feel your part would be, or how God would stir you to be a part of this, or any other area of ministry that breaks your heart, because there is no lack of need in the world. And then just to let you all know, I try to be very vulnerable and open with everybody. On my cards, things, that stuff out there, you can find all the information about me. I send a newsletter if you want it. I have a section about an AIM update, whatever's going on during that month, and then also what God's showing me personally, because I know that this would be an investment, and you have to trust who you're investing in, and it provides accountability for me, you know, that, like, I'm pushing through with my relationship with God, because this is impossible without God. It's just not going to happen. And the integrity portion is really key there. So that, I have a blog and all kinds of other stuff. I was supposed to move last week. Obviously, coronavirus changed plans, so I'm a little bit delayed, but definitely still going. So, yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for having me, Tom, for that introduction, because a lot of those scriptures played a key role in getting this train rolling all those years ago. But that's it. And if you guys have any questions, I'd love to answer them, really. I'm not shy. Only up here.
Okay. Kara, explain to us just how dangerous this is for you and for the others.
Yeah, well, Cambodia is not safe. That's for sure. And it's really getting worse with the virus because they run on tourism. And right now everything's shut down. And I was just talking to somebody in my language class that things are starting to get desperate. And it's already a desperate country. And if you're carrying anything, a bag, whatever, somebody will push you off your motorcycle, knock you on the head to get it. And then, you know, they do what they can to protect you and where you live and all that stuff. But obviously there's risk in it. However, it goes back to, like, I desperately want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I believe that this is what God has asked me to do for this time. But, yeah, Cambodia is a rough place. It's called Khmer.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so I'm in level 2 right now. They went online because of the virus, which is good, so I was able to start early. It's not easy, but I have a mentor back home, and she tells me that there's 3 ways to reach a people: the language, and the language. And I don't ever want to go to a place and have them cater to me and to learn English or to, you know, whatever, be more educated so I can talk to them. Like, this is about becoming like the people. So that's definitely a prayer request. I really desire to be fluent. It is very difficult. It's the largest alphabet in the world. I didn't know that. But 36 vowels with a few sounds each. So. Yeah, so when I was learning about this, it is an epicenter. So that village, Swaipak, the only thing that was happening there was sex trafficking. So not only for the people of Cambodia, but pedophiles around the world would come to this place to, you know, do this thing a lot, because what you see online, you know, and like fueling that evil desire, Cambodia has very little restriction on this, because you can easily pay off police officers and you can get away without being in trouble for it. So before Agape got there, like I mentioned, like, it was lined with brothels, but they started shutting them down, buying up the brothels. So now actually the employment center is in a place that used to be a brothel, and the kids center is in a place that used to be a brothel. So you walk in there and you see where the little rooms used to be, and they, which it showed in the first video, I think, they knocked it all down to fill these places, which is really amazing. But, yeah, I was like, if it's happening there, you know, and that's the country that I heard about, I was like, this is the place to go. And really, it is. It's happening everywhere. It's happening here. It's just really silly, the media. You see all these teen girls go missing. There's no question where they are missing, you know. It's really sad. So it is everywhere. It is here, but it is just really wild there, like the accessibility and the corruption to let it go on.
So when they rescue a child that's in a situation, do they get the police behind them, or
yeah.
How is that kind of like?
It's kind of both. So AIM uses their SWAT team. However, they partner with the Cambodian government, but AIM is the one that really sees it all the way through. So in my last newsletter, I talked about this man named Danny Lee Pope. They're, you know, pursuing these kinds of things. So AIM is the one that sees through the justice and puts them through the courts, but they have to kind of watch the case to see that it's brought through, because, again, you can pay off anybody. So he has 12 years there and will likely have to face something here, hopefully. So they rescue the girls. Immediately they're put into the hand of counselors. They get brought to the restoration home, where they receive a lot of counseling and love, education, and job training, and they don't really leave that place. So everything's brought to them just to keep them safe, and you know, it's an intense healing process. So those kids are actually different from the kids that are at the school I'm teaching at. The kids at my school, they want to detect who's still involved in that and protect them and maybe take them from the family if that's needed, but it's so they don't fall into this, because without the school being there, that's likely.
So AIM has been around how long in Cambodia?
Yes, so it's been thousands. So AIM's programs, whether the rescuing or just different community programs, have impacted 10,000 people in 15 years. I think that's the number that they just put out. I forgot what the other question was. Yeah, it's over 1,000. That's what it was. Okay, so AIM started in the 80s by a Cambodian couple that escaped the genocide, and they came here. And after everything kind of settled, they went back to help rehabilitate their country. Don Brewster, which was in the video, and his wife, they went on a trip there and saw how bad the issue of trafficking was, and they came back, sold all their stuff, and moved, and they weren't really qualified to do anything, and they were actually told to go home. But then they started this ministry, so they worked with the original founders to kind of change the mission a little bit. So the other founders are still working with the village churches, and they train the pastors in those villages, but then AIM is more in the city based, to work on the sex trafficking issue. Okay, so my monthly budget is it's about $2,000, but I had to change it a little bit because paying taxes and whatever. The need will be about $2,000. So then that's what I need to keep before taxes. So I'm still figuring out all that. And then AIM doesn't receive it. None of my finances have anything to do with AIM. So I have a mission board called International Outreach Ministries. They're my financial accountability, who help with different things, provide different support. They come out and do retreats for their missionaries. So they handle my finances, and then it kind of works like a paycheck. So they send what I need a month, and then if there's any extra ministry or side ministry going on, then I can take from the account for that, if that makes sense.
What's the major religion?
It's Buddhism. So it's Buddhism, and they're very open. I'm so grateful for this. Cambodia receives a lot of outside help, a lot of help from ministries, so they're all pretty open. The surrounding countries, Laos is heavy on persecution, Thailand's getting there with persecution, Philippines has a lot of persecution, but Cambodia is still kind of staying open, which is, that just provides a lot of opportunity without having to like look over your back, and you can still invite people to church. And you know, there's some things you can't do. You can't hand out any paper materials. I'm pretty sure that's in their laws, or anything like that. But they're really open, and you know, it's sharing with a Buddhist person is really special, because you know, you get into the karma thing and what they do to pay for their sins. You know, they pay for their sins, and then you show like what Christ did and the better way, and you don't have to pay for your sins. You know, this was taken care of already, and it's, you know, they know like Christians are there, but they don't fully realize, a lot of them, all the truth that is in that.
When they go in and rescue children, what's the dynamic with the children's parents? I mean, you just took away some of their income. What's going on with the parents of these children?
It really is from what I understand, on a case-by-case basis. So that's part of what the job training does, is it equips them to be able to be a provider in a way that protects their dignity, you know, and obviously just their well-being and health and all that. Some girls, they're coming out with a documentary this year, and something that the girl in it, Ruxmai, says is, you know, she thought that her mom made a sacrifice, you know, to sell her and to have that be provision for the family. And she says, I was such a fool to believe that. You know, and she says, AIM is her family. So it's a lot about breaking the culture and, like, having the girl realize sometimes the ties to the family have to be broken because they're going to push them right back into that. But AIM does a lot of social work with families also, through the kids' clubs and community programs, to try to break those beliefs, because it's heavily rooted in the culture. But it's a culture that works against women, like, just around the clock. So, you know, it's just one person at a time, and they tried to preserve the families, but in some cases it can't be done. So a long time. Yeah. So the youngest age that AIM typically sees is 4 years old. But, you know, girls can keep working through 20. It really just depends, you know, and older women selling themselves. And some women do choose to be in it themselves. But they will, you know, once they're owned by somebody, it's kind of dependent on that pimp or whatever, of how long he's going to keep her, how much money she's bringing in, that sort of thing.
Sorry if I missed this point earlier, but are most of the girls that are sex trafficked in Cambodia stay in Cambodia, or are they exported out, or is there kind of a percentage?
They stay in Cambodia. So they have restoration homes there. They're undisclosed locations, just to protect them. But they want to reintegrate into their society and teach the girls to be protectors themselves. So a lot of these girls come back. There are women on the SWAT team that, you know, were trafficked as kids and come back and work for AIM and also rehabilitate. So, yeah, that's really special. And obviously, it's such a wide, we can't take all the women out of Cambodia, you know. So it's really about trying to change the culture, a lot of it.
No, I meant if there's sex trafficked. Are
oh, like
they,
other.
Are they sent to other countries, okay, or are they primarily staying in Cambodia?
I think most of them stay, but China obviously has some issues with the lack of women. So a lot of people are trafficked to China to become brides, which is also another really special thing. They have even left the country to hunt down one girl. So they really do everything that they can to protect them, and even if they are out of the country. And it is really twisted, you know. Vietnam, Thailand, all these places get mixed up with people, you know, and I think it's just part of the manipulations, the lies, and, like, keeping somebody under control. You know, if you go to a new country, you don't know the language, you don't know anybody, and it just makes you that much weaker. So a lot of the people in Sphai Pak are actually Vietnamese. So yeah, Southeast Asia as a whole is really, I mean, this is bad everywhere. There's another ministry, I think it's called A21, in Greece, and they also just have seen such horrific things. You know, and it's just, the heart is desperately wicked. It is wicked, and this problem really is everywhere. You know, it's here, it's in Jasper, you know, it's in my neighborhood back home, you know, that is really a bubble, you know, protected from the world, because people are evil, and people are full of lust and completely selfish, and this is a product of that.
Okay. One last question. too often in America, we think $20, $30, $50 a month, what could that help? What would you say to someone who thinks, well, I don't have hundreds of dollars to give per month, so my gift really isn't necessary? How would you address that? Because obviously I'm setting you up for this question because I disagree, but I'll let you answer.
Mm-hmm. So support raising is a wild time for my heart. It is the most humbling thing. There's, you know, to know that I will survive by people's generosity is really crazy. And like the words thank you are just, they don't do the job at all. And I've seen a lot there. I have very generous supporters. And then I have a girl who is a missionary kid and she gives $5 a month, you know. $1,000 a month to one is her $5. You know, it goes back to the widow's mite and that her giving everything. And I believe God blesses that, and I believe he's going to supply for the need. But I think it really comes back to the heart and, like, what God asks us to do, and are we going to be faithful to him? Because God is really the one that is going to see this through and make it happen. I know it's a calling. He's not going to call me to it and not provide. But, you know, if I didn't say yes, he'd use somebody else. I don't want to miss out on a front row seat to the majesty of God because I believe that's what this is. You know, and if God is asking you to do something and you don't, like, it's your loss. So that's kind of how I feel about that, and knowing, like, as believers, we should do things with excellence. And there's no reason that any school or business or organization should be less than when we have the truth. And that's something really special about this school. It is one of the best schools in the nation, but we're bringing support and we're bringing resources and training. And, you know, so without my role, and there's other people in my role also, like, that's not going to be what's produced. And we want that to be produced because it helps these girls, but also it comes back to loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, like, how fully are we going to do that? It's by giving up our best that we, like, possibly can. And for me, in my way, that's being a teacher and doing training and, you know, walking with them in their relationship with God. I think that kind of answers that. Yeah. Thank you so much again for having me, for opening your hearts. I know this is heavy stuff. It is. It's heavy stuff, and it can be really depressing when you think about the numbers. But it goes back to saying yes to the one and just being obedient to what God asks you to do personally. So I think that's it. That was a long time.
Yeah, it is a heavy message, but it's an important message. It's what do we worry about? Meat's getting scarce in a grocery store? Our taxes are a little too high? What are we worrying about? When we wrap up, we're going to go into Oneg together, and I encourage you individually, if you'd like to get to know a little more about what Kara's doing, sit down at dinner and chat with her. I really want to have anybody that's feels drawn to help now or even a few days from now once you've had time to pray about it, let us know. We'll make sure we put you, because they can do this directly with your organization, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All the information's out there, and if you have any questions.
Okay. Be praying, because if we're not doing the Father's will, and we're going to be talking about this when we start studying it, he says, well, when did we do this for you, Lord? When did we do this for you? Because, well, if you did it for the least of my children, if you went and you visited somebody in prison, if you went and you fed somebody, if you went and you helped somebody regain their life, you did it as if you were doing it to me. And see, not everybody's called to do what she's called to do, but we can all help.
$5 a month, whatever Father puts on your heart. Nobody should ever give a dime unless it's with a cheerful heart. But one of the things that I really love about what you're trying to do is something that you shared with Cornelia and I in the car ride, I don't know, 2 months ago. Said, I'm not looking for people to just contribute. She goes, I need prayer warriors.
That's right.
What she's doing is going to require that. I really don't know why I get emotional about certain things, but I've never been to Cambodia, but I've been to 10 different countries in Southeast Asia. And I'm just going to say it's not good. It's not good. We live in La La Land. We have no clue how hard life is. We have no clue what real injustice is. We have no clue what being treated horribly is. But yet when they come to know the Father, they're filled with love and joy and happiness. And what do? Some of us, many of us, not all of us. We just sit around and complain like we're stuck in the desert. So I'm going to encourage you all to consider what the Father would have you to do. This is not a House of Scripture thing. This is Kara going to serve in Southeast Asia. But I can tell you this, the House of Scripture is going to support her on a regular basis. My wife and I are going to support her. And I certainly wouldn't ask you to do something I didn't believe in. It says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do, the amount we're going to do, and how much we're going to help. That's between us and Kara. But I'm telling you we're supporting it because it's a worthy cause. And I don't have a problem doing that. So let's go into prayer, and let's just really meditate on what's been said here today. Because if there is one thing I've learned, this time is short, and now is the time to be about the Father's business. Amen. Father, we come before you humbled, hearts wretched, some of us just one little thing happens in this country and we get a little upset, we get a little in turmoil. And I was thinking about this morning, Father, and I have no idea what your emotions are like, but you created us in your image, so I have to believe you have emotions because we read about your anger, we read about your love, we read about your mercy, but we read about your justice, and I can't imagine. You have to wake up every day, well, you don't sleep, but every single day the sun comes up and you see injustice all over the world. You see people who have turned their back on the love you've offered them all over the world. You see people that do things that are atrocities in the so-called educated world we come from. But what Kara said is so true. It's happening right here all over. Sex trafficking is in every country on earth at some level. And it's perpetrated by people who are evil at heart. Father, I just pray for those people in Cambodia she's going to go and serve. I pray for her. I ask you to put a special anointing of the Holy Spirit on her because she cannot do this without the power of your Spirit. And I ask that you would have mercy on these poor women and children, both young boys and girls, who are abused all over the world. Father, so many times we see this and we just want to say, Bo Yeshua, Bo, come. Come put an end to this. But I know you have a purpose and a plan and a call for everybody. And Peter says you are not slack. You are just waiting because you want everybody who will to come to the knowledge of truth, Father. So let us be patient with you. If you can be patient, we can be patient. But let us never fail to cry out for the injustices that break your heart. In Ezekiel it said, go out and put a mark on the foreheads of those who cry out against the injustices and the abominations that are committed against me and against my word and against my love and in my instructions. Let us never be accused of being indifferent and turning away from what you've called us to do individually. Father, have mercy on us. Let us truly learn to have our hearts break for what breaks your heart. And let the things that bring you joy bring us joy, Father. Let us be thankful that we are able to gather together today and every Shabbat and every holy day to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us not take that for granted, because most of the countries on the world, or a good majority of them, that is impossible. 5 years in prison for someone to defy the government's law of not meeting together. They did it anyway, and they're 5 years in prison because they met to share a message of love that your son gave to us 2,000 years ago. And yet we worry about the silliest, pettiest things. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Cleanse our hearts. Set us on a path that will bring you honor and glory. For it's in your name that we ask these things. It's in the name of your precious Son that we even have the ability to come before you. And we ask it in Yeshua's name. Yivarekha Yehovah v'yishmerekha. Yair Yehovah panav alecha v'yihonecha. Yisai Yehovah panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace. In the name of the Son of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.